obey the Lord and just desire that the Lord will bless His word. I'd like to turn to the book of Hebrews and give you the admonition that He gives His here in chapter 12 and start with verse 14. It says, follow peace with all men, and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And the message that the Lord has put in my heart this morning, this evening, is about the root of bitterness. And I believe that the Lord has been revealing things to my heart as I have been doing the dishes in the evening and waking up in the morning with these things on my mind. The Lord has been talking to my heart that our hearts this evening are like a garden unto the Lord. And the Lord is looking down, and He has done everything that He could possibly do to reap a beautiful harvest out of our hearts and from our lives. He has done everything. There's not a thing that the Lord has not done to be able to reap wonderful things from your heart and your life. He has given us this wonderful plan of salvation. He has provided everything for us in order for us to have a beautiful flower garden or fruit harvest unto Him. And He's looking for fruit tonight. He's looking out over your hearts tonight. Every one of us that sit here under the sound of my voice this evening, God is looking for fruit. He's looking for peace and love and joy, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, self-control, patience, gentleness, kindness. He's looking for the fruits of His Spirit in our lives. And He's provided everything for us to bear those things. He's also looking for everlasting fruit in the form of souls that you and I bring into the kingdom. Amen. He's wondering this evening, where is the fruit that you bring to me? Is it only leaves? Is it only nettles and thistles and briars? What's coming out of our life tonight? We're just burdened this evening that when the Lord looks down into our hearts, that He doesn't see something that's troubling us and defiling us this evening. Roots that are there that have been under the surface for a long time. That's the thing about roots. They're under the surface. They can't always be seen. Flower gardens sometimes can look so good. And I have one. And I want to show you just an illustration of what I'm talking about. I've got a garden. This is like a plan of it. Here's the corner of my house. I have a garden that goes like this. Walk goes along it like this. I've planted wonderful blooming things in this garden, but I don't know where it came from. Don't know where it came from. I think it was in the mulch that we brought in, but something got in there, and there is an old troublesome vine that keeps coming up. It comes up here, and it comes up here, and it comes up here, and it comes up here. It comes up back in there. It'll come up. It'll come up. It'll go around the butterfly bush, and I have to go and pull that thing off, and it'll pull off blooms when I try to get into it. I don't know what to do. I think probably I'm going to have to go in and just dig up the entire bed and somehow get to the bottom of that thing. But there is an ugly root in my flower garden, and I think about it all the time whenever I'm working with it. Every day I go out there and there are new shoots from that silly vine. I just want to just take it. Sometimes I get it and I just say, out of here, you root. I just don't like that old root down in there. But I've got to deal with it. I don't know where, like I said, don't know where it came from. But roots are something. I read about some roots. The longest root is several miles long. Miles long. Well, I'm not finding my little source here of information. Okay, here we go. Longest root in a tree out in Arizona, 195 feet long. That was on a tree. Other roots, a single rye plant can grow roots measuring up to 387 miles. A single ryegrass plant can do that. That rye plant can have 14 million different roots in one plant that just shoot out. That's a lot of root. But I was thinking how this evening that in our hearts, in our lives, there is something so insidious and so evil and so dangerous, and that thing tonight is called bitterness. It can have roots that are 487 miles long in our lives. It can start with just a little bit of resentfulness at something that God allowed in my life, and I didn't like it. I was not consecrated to it. I wanted something different. He crossed my way in some way. He brought something into my life, and I was resentful about it, and it began to fester and to grow. And I was trying to live saved. I'm talking generally here. I'm not speaking from personal experience at this point, but I'm putting myself in the place of everyone here. Coming into our lives, there are many, many disappointments. Life is not fair. Life will not always treat us. The Lord allows us to be tested and tried in many ways. We don't know when we take our marriage vows what's going to happen in the time of that marriage. What's going to happen to our companion, to our spouse? We want it to be perfect. We want things to always work together and just be great. But there are things that begin to come into our lives that if we will allow it, we will be bitter at what happens in our marriages. And that's one of the things that he spoke to husbands about. And I believe he spoke to women too. But he spoke to them. He said, husbands, you love your wives and don't be bitter against them. If it weren't so possible and so probable and so likely that through the course of our lives, we would be very, very tempted to bitterness, he wouldn't have put that in there. And another place he said to the women, he said, don't give any occasion to the enemy to speak reproachfully. I believe he's talking and referring maybe to Job's wife. Job's wife, Mrs. Job, things happened to her husband, and she was resentful about it, and she was bitter. And she actually wished he would die so she could get somebody else. And she didn't care if he cursed God or not. She said, why don't you curse God and just get on out of here. But see the bitterness that was in Miss Job. I think about some other people that were bitter. Didn't the apostle in the book of Acts, he came up on a man. Let's turn to that. Peter, he came in chapter 8. He and the disciples came to a man. This man, his name was Simon. It said that he believed, but this man had been somebody among the people. He had been somebody that he felt like that people revered him and adored him. And that's one of the dangers of us developing bitterness, is when we feel like that we're owed something. We're owed respect. We're owed consideration of others. We're owed adulation or praise for something that we've done. And if it doesn't come, we feel slighted. There's danger there of us people who are saved, sweetly saved. There's a danger of us developing a root of bitterness and it begin to spring up in our lives. If we feel like that and that's why Jesus said, after this manner, therefore, you pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. No one is going to always do what we want them to do in life. They're not going to always treat us right. We must keep a daily forgiving heart, because a root of bitterness can spring up and it will trouble you. It will trouble every saint in this building if we're not looking diligently, praying that prayer with the Savior every day. Father, forgive them. I don't think they know what they're doing. Lord, I'm just going to count it that they didn't mean that. Lord, give us a forgiving heart. Help us to live in the spirit of the cross. where we forgive without anybody having to ask us their forgiveness, that we just ought, we forgive it. I saw a lesson in forgiveness one time. I went with a woman to the hospital to visit another woman. And this other woman had hurt and injured that woman in the worst way that a person can hurt and injure another person. And I went with her to the hospital to visit that other person. The other person looked at her and she said, "I am so sorry for what I did to you. Could you forgive me?" I'll always remember how she, the saint of God, she looked at the one who had injured her and she said, "Honey, I forgave you long ago. I've already forgiven you." Yes. That woman had never asked her forgiveness, but she had let it go. Yes. She had let that debt go. She had totally forgiven it. I know that God can give us the ability to forgive and to forget. He gave it to Joseph in the Bible. When Joseph had his two sons, he said, "I want to name them these names." One of them meant, "God has caused me to forget." God had caused him to forget what his brothers had done to him. And so he wanted to commemorate that and put it immortal and say, "This son means to me the ability that God gave me to forget all the hurt that my brothers did to me." And the other one, he said, "God has made me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction." If we forgive, we'll bear fruit. But if we don't, this root will come up and it will just quench all the fruit bearing that you and I begin to do. And it's not just children. This is not a message for children this morning, but it could start as a child. If you're a child this morning, you feel like your mom and your dad somehow love your brother or your sister more than they love you. That's real feelings in the heart of a child. Sometimes it's fostered by unwise moves by the parent, and I understand that. Sometimes a parent has to have a divine revelation that I'm not really getting to the affection of this child. They're not feeling my love. We don't mean for the child to feel that way, but sometimes the child feels that way. You can grow up feeling slighted and begin having a root of bitterness in your heart. It'll trouble you. It'll cause you trouble in all your relationships because you constantly feel that insignificance. You feel like the other people are preferred before you. You'll carry it into adulthood. Some people react in just not trying anything. Other people become very aggressive and always have a point to prove. There are roots to that kind of behavior. Sometimes those roots are bitterness down in the heart because I didn't feel like I got the love and attention that somebody else in my family got. There's all kinds of ways that roots can develop in the heart. Birds flying over continually drop seeds in the soil. You plow up a garden and you're going to wonder, where in the world did this blackberry bush come from that's grown up in my garden? It's from a bird of the air. Cherry seeds. I find cherry seeds all the time in my garden. Where'd they come from? Bird of the air came flying over and dropped that cherry seed. Thistles just grow up because those little goldfinches that love those thistle seeds, they're going to fly over your dirt and they're going to drop those thistle seeds in there. We have to watch the holy evil spirits all the time going across our horizon, going across in our world, drop seed thoughts into our minds that can develop into roots. You can be sweetly saved today and have the glory of God in your life, and the enemy come and drop a root and say, "They didn't rejoice at your testimony like they did someone else's." And right there, a little seed of bitterness. These things spring up. They trouble people. They trouble people's spiritual lives. If you have undiscerned trouble tonight, check this out. Do you have a root of bitterness against God tonight? The Lord revealed to me that this message was going to go forth and there would be people under the sound of this message who are bitter and angry at God tonight. God, you don't feel like God gave you a square deal. You don't feel like that somehow things worked out for you like you would like. Maybe a financial loss. Maybe you didn't get the companion you thought God showed you ought to get. And you're bitter about it, and you've carried it for years and years and years. Maybe someone died that was trusting the Lord, and you're bitter about that. You're bitter about the way they died and how they died. And because they trust God, you thought God could have done better than that. And you've not ever accepted the death of your loved one. The Lord, show me that there's bitterness in people's hearts tonight. He wants you to come to Him. He's waiting by the well. He wants to take that bitterness and He wants to take it out of your heart. He can take roots out. He can burn them out. He can plow up your ground. He can totally, completely make you a fruitful yield unto Him, full of fruit. That's what He wants. This man, Simon, he thought he was something. And so whenever these disciples came around and they had the real power of God about them, he looked at that and he was bitter about it. And he wanted so much, he wanted to have that so that people would look at him real good, that he wanted to buy it with money. And Peter looked at him and said, I perceive, verse 23, chapter 8, I perceive that you're in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Bitterness is a spawning bed of many iniquitous things in our lives. It really is. Prejudices toward people, toward groups. Bitterness is in our hearts and lives. It will cause us to act in ways and hate people on sight that we do not know.
That's right.
It will.
That's true.
It will cause you to have just an innate hatred and anger. I want to tell you something. Anger rests in the bosom of fools, the scripture says.
That's right.
That is. He said, be you angry, but don't sin. How do you sin? How does anger cause you to sin? If anger rests in your bosom and it festers and it grows and you don't get rid of it. He said, don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Right.
That means when the evening time comes, make sure that your wrath has been stilled into peaceful silence by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And He can do it. He can calm the waves. He can do this tonight. I want to tell you something. If you don't feel like that God can deliver you from bitterness tonight, think about this. He washes the sands of every seashore twice every day. That's my God. He can do it. He can do it tonight. He can wash your seashore that's printed and trodden down by many evil thoughts and feelings. He can wash it clean tonight. He can completely make it new. He said, I perceive you're in the gall of bitterness. I think about another bitter person over here, Jonah. Jonah could not comprehend the love and the mercy of God. And how about you and I tonight? Does it pester you, thoughts like this, that I don't see why God allowed that to go on? I don't see why He didn't cut that person off and hurt them because they hurt me so bad. You know what, people can get bitter. Jonah was angry at God, and did you know that God dealt with him about it? He said, Jonah, do you well to be angry? And you know what? Jonah was so angry that he said, I do well to be angry. I have a right to be angry. He said, I thought, you can look this up. But he said, I thought back there when you first called me to Nineveh. He said, I thought to myself, I'm going to go to Nineveh, I'm going to preach to them, and God's going to forgive them, and then I'm going to look like a fool. He said, I thought that in my mind before I ever went.
Yeah.
Did you know Jonah had bitter thoughts against God? He didn't comprehend and understand the love and mercy of the Lord. Did you know that tonight, if you're in bitterness, that you have never really seen a vision of the love and mercy of God? You have yourself, and that's the only thing in the picture. You do not see how He's borne long with other people that are involved in the situation and how that He wants so badly to save them and that He doesn't want to cut them off. We need a vision tonight of God's love and mercy. There was another bitter man in the Old Testament. His name was Cain. He was so mad because he had brought his stuff to the Lord and the Lord ignored it and put the fire down on his brothers. That will make a person bitter tonight if you and I are in the service of the Lord and it appears like that I'm being ignored. They didn't ordain me. It's been 10 years Hey, where's? How come I'm not? This is going to be a root of bitterness in people's lives. Why did they not talk to me? I sensed that your feeling was different from me when I came in the room. That kind of thing. That's bitterness in the life. That's saying, you owe me something. I'm telling you, this world tonight is in trouble. Our country's in trouble because people feel like you owe me something. People have their hand out. They think that they're out for all the freebies they can get. How about you and I turn that around and say, when I come into this world, I am in debt. I have a debt to pay with my life. I need to live my life in such a way as to pay my debt to those who bore me and to the God that gave me life and breath. Nobody owes me anything. I owe a lifetime of love and service to God for what He's done for me and allowing me to live. And you know what? God spoke to Cain. God said, why are you angry? He wanted to prevent him from sinning further with his anger. And God said, why are you angry? Tonight the Lord is looking to you. He's going to look down in your heart. Oh, Holy Spirit, walk up and down the aisles and go back into the back, fringes there and look into people's hearts and lives. Would that the Holy Spirit would shine an illuminating spotlight down in our hearts tonight. Lord, why am I angry? Why am I angry? What's happened in my life that I'm so bitter against the saints that I don't even want to be around them? These gentle and kind people. Those people will love you. They'll stay with you. If you sin and repent, they'll forgive you. They'll bring you back. They'll stay with you till death. And yet people are so angry and so mad against what they call the church. That they're actually, I want to tell you what your anger is. Your anger is against God. You have an anger against God because, number one, He's required things that you don't think that you want to do. And it's not even fair for Him to require it of you. There was a man in the scripture like that too. He said, I knew you were like that. He said, I knew you were a hard man, could not be pleased. That's why I didn't even try. Did you know there are people tonight who think, you can't please God. I can't live for God. I can't live that way. And they preach the standard so high, nobody can live it that way. That's bitterness. That's a sea of bitterness in your heart and life tonight. It'll trouble you. And if you always have that thought in your mind, then you won't ever try. But you know what? The Lord can turn your thoughts around. You know what He told the children of Israel? He said, the word is not too far. It's not up in heaven where you have to climb something and bring it down. He said, it's not down in the earth where you got to dig down and get it. He said, the word is nigh you. That word nigh you, it means available. It means easy. The commandment of the Lord tonight is not grievous. I found it so. There's nothing that He's brought into my life that's been too hard. It's always been available. It's within your reach. Obedience and pleasing God is within your reach tonight. But please, this evening, I want you to think about what could happen if you become bitter and resentful. Cain said, he didn't answer the Lord. The Lord just pleaded with him. He said, if you do well, you'll be accepted. Tonight, we ask you to just consider about bitterness in your heart and your life. If these things have happened to you, I want to tell you something else. I was at the bedside of a dying saint. She was an example to me of patience toward a companion that was irascible and hard to get along with. All the years that I knew her. At her end, at the very end, did you know that Satan tried to get her to be bitter and lose her soul? She fought a hard battle with bitterness at the very end. All of the things that she had put down, they began to come out. And I had to tell her, you're going to lose your soul if you can't forgive. You must forgive. You can't let this make you bitter. You want to have a sweet ending. You're just about to go. Sister, you're just about out of here. You can't afford to let this get you now. I pleaded with her in tears. One night she called and she wanted my husband. She said, I need a man. I want to talk to him. And so she talked to him. And he talked her through until she felt that she was clear in her soul. It'll be one of the last fights that you fight tonight. But don't go down with bitterness. Don't let these things overcome you. The scripture says don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. He's given us the steps, and that could be another message, how to overcome your bitterness. But I want to ask you tonight to look down into your heart. Have you been bitter and jealous about how others have been blessed and you have not? These things can really work a work in your life. Has God afflicted someone in your life and maybe not healed them and took them on and you've never forgiven God? Tonight, people are in the gall of bitterness. I want you to consider and just yield to the Lord. He's waiting by the well. He's waiting right here tonight.